on this ummah, this nation, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's immense rewards and favors and gifts are present that we cannot even imagine the amount that is there. The prophets came previously to us, to this ummah, and previous ummahs came, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given so much fadl, blessings, mercies, karamat to this ummah of the Muslimin more than any other ummah before that, before us. And the reason for this is just one, because this ummah's ta'alluq and connection is with the Habib of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with the Mahbub of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, due to this connection, due to this nisbat, loves this ummah. And if we look at the rewards and the gifts and the favors of Allah from all of the things that Allah ta'ala has given to this ummah, that reward is this, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has, with Ati'ullah, has also placed Ati'ur Rasul, attachment, connection. Allah ta'ala hasn't just said that obey me, rather Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, on top of this, in addition to this, his khas, special karam and mercy and blessing to us is that his rahmah, his mercy on top of this, Allah ta'ala says that, my Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you can imitate him, follow him, obey him, follow his tariqah, his methodology. And the ummah has considered this second part of the statement as a punishment, unfortunately, that to follow the tariq of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to follow his sunnahs, we consider this as a burden, as a punishment, as a hardship. And today, in this day and age, may Allah forgive, may Allah forgive, forget about punishment. Now we've gone beyond even that thinking and we are disrespectful. It's surprising, it's shocking, it's a reward, it's a favor of Allah to us that we are allowed to profit, imitate Rasulullah, but we consider this in conjunction with shaitan's influence that it's a punishment for us. And every man should analyze his thoughts and feelings. I'm not addressing you at this moment, alhamdulillah. I feel that my voice should reach to every single place away from here. This is the reality, my brothers. And the reason for this is that Nabi al-Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam's ita'at, his obedience, imitation in his tariqah, in his methodology, in his sunnah, the whole of the deen is protected, and the whole of the world is protected, and the hereafter is protected for a person. Every phase in this world and the hereafter is protected. There is no such thing in this world or the hereafter which, due to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's imitation and obedience and following him, does not protect anything in this world and the hereafter. Storms, tragedies, jinnat, magic, enemies, calamities, disasters, every single example, illnesses, any negative, cancer, kidney issues, as I said before, that 99% of illnesses are not physical. These are all spiritual, inner state caused. That when a person within has jinnat and issues and jadu and magic and potions, and these then become illnesses that physically are apparent from the body. And medically, if we see that one medicine, then another medicine, then another prescription, and then this injection, and then this has failed, this antibiotics failed, and this has gone wrong. Take any maqam, go on any stage, we cannot see that this is the final cure for this illness. Yes, the final cure will that be that way Allah Ta'ala gives his fadl, and he corrects that malady. Yes, either otherwise Panadol can correct things, or paracetamol can correct things, which are minor. Rather, if I go beyond, can I tell you something about a pious person? He said that if shifa was to be given by that, then I'll take something even easier than this and eat this. Allah Ta'ala is the one who will give shifa, cure. Subhanallah, this is the aqeedah. Why? Because they knew in the aqeedah, the Atiur Rasul that Allah Ta'ala has mentioned, the whole dunya, Allah Ta'ala has made it a qila, a castle, a fort for us. It's such a fort that Rasulullah's obedience and his lifestyle and following him, when a person has a life like this, he comes into such a fort that nothing in the dunya can deliver harm to that individual. Nothing. no illness, issue, calamity, tragedy, nothing. The whole dunya stands on the other side. And if that individual is obeying the Prophet ﷺ, nothing can affect that person in a negative way. With ease, calm assurance. Hazrat Ali, karamallahu wajh, stated that I slept the most beautiful sleep on which night? On that night when Nabi al-Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when he departed on the hijrat, on the migration trip, and all of the opposition had gathered together with their weapons and said, we are not going to leave today. Nauzubillah, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, O Ali, that you lie down on my bed, in my place, and I'm not letting go for this reason. Imagine Deen of Islam, our Deen, that these people are standing outside, these foolish people, that they have my trust, subhanallah, possessions, that they are stood there to hit me, and I'm worried about them, that I could give the trust back to them, they are here, present, so I'm going now, I'm departing. And your duty is this, that in the morning, return their possessions to them, and then come to me. Has Ali Karamallahu Wajh said, Subhanallah, Subhanallah, when Allah's Nabi Sallam said, come, then I said, that's it, nobody can harm me now, because I've been given the glad news that I have to reach there. And he said that all of the opposition was there, that today we're not going to leave. Muhammad, the whole of Makkah was stood. Then Rasulullah ﷺ left, departed, and nobody knew that when did Rasulullah ﷺ go. And Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu was sleeping, and they thought that Muhammad ﷺ is sleeping inside. They were ready, standing to hit. And Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu said that when Nabi al-Kareem said that you have to come and see me after you've given the possessions back to the people, he said that this night, subhanAllah, every night is a danger, but for me there's no danger. Maybe for them there's a danger. They knew that maut can come at any time, but every night to recite du'as, have khawf of Allah, to recite du'as, ask for forgiveness. We wake up, look around, those who have fear of death, they look around when they have fear. When you fear that my plane's going to leave, then you don't sleep. And then I do. Do you sleep? No. You're afraid. After a little while, your eyes open up. Oh, is it time for the flight? Do I need to go? Is it time now? Do I need to go? So the walis of Allah, the pious people, they have fikr of maut, of death. That is this my last breath? Will I pass away during the night, in the morning? So Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu said that, subhanAllah, now I had yaqeen that maut will not come in the night, that nobody will pain me, afflict me, harm me, because I have to depart from it, because Rasulullah said, come and meet me afterwards. And beautiful night. And whose bed was it? Subhanallah, the traveler on Mi'raj, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that all the angels, Jibreel, Mikael, came, that Allah is calling you. And this was his bed, the blessed mattress. And on that bed, Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu, if he's sleeping there, imagine the sleep he would have that night. Imagine. All his life long, put it to one side, the sleep, and that sleep on that night, that the whole of the life sleep was fulfilled in that one night. So this was his yaqeen. So that is when a mu'min, this example shows that he comes into a sealed fort, into the protection of Rasulullah ﷺ, into his protection. And until Qiyamah, for the Ummah, alhamdulillah, jahil people like us, we think it's difficult to do amal on the sunnah, we say. And for example, when we get ill, we start to urinate, oh, I'm trembling, I had other things to do in the world, what will people say to me, will become too hard for me? Will I practice here, in this hemisphere, and people will be against me, and everyone thinks that others are against me, and it's difficult for us to practice the sunnah, and we think, is that difficult, that hard? And we are so foolish today and mad that we think that this is sunnah that we have practiced, that we've already practiced. We can't even do this. These are the basics, that obeying the Prophet ﷺ is a vast ocean. This attire and the appearance we made, this is one dharra. One dharra. This is a small part, and the sunnah is a vast ocean. Millions and millions of things. Don't be under this delusion that Allah has given us tawfiq, we're wearing, that we've donned the imama, we've got the beard, we've got the libas, and we're fulfilling the sunnah. This is the dharra. This is just a small percentage. The whole life is the sunnah of Rasulullah. You think we'll be forgiven for this, donning the attire? No. This is Allah's fadl that we've got one part of the thing. But never be in this deception that I'm doing amal on a big sunnah, I'm the best. Alhamdulillah, this is great. No doubt, there's no doubt that to do what we do already is great. That every practice of the Prophet ﷺ gives us what? Gives us the reward of 100 shaheed thawab. SubhanAllah, say if on top of a topi we wear imama, we have 100 shaheed thawab reward. Yes, in the same way, every libas which is close to the Prophet ﷺ and his lifestyle, if you take any libas of the sharia, any that you can fulfill the salah. But what is qareeb to the Prophet ﷺ's own life? Yes, what libas was it that he liked, that he wore ﷺ? What did he wear mostly? And this is ilm. This is knowledge. This is why we study Bukhari, This is why we're studying Muwatta Imam Malik and Bukhari Sharif and other Sahih Sitta and other kitab collections, hadith collections, so we can learn what was the way and the lifestyle of Rasulullah, so we can do amal on it. Studying and to debate and to learn ilm, to debate people and argue, this is not what we learn ilm for. But don't consider that, yes, I'm following the sunnah and I'm pious. Don't fall into this trap. Don't fall into this trap. It's dangerous. This is just a dharra to wear the attire, look like a believer, appearance, etc. This is just a small percentage of the deen. People say, wah, wah, mashallah. You say, please stop saying this. Why are you saying wah, wah? This is part of the deen. And we are getting word on that. This is a small part of the deen, but the sunnah is vast. Multitudes of practices and actions, and that's what we need to do. That's what we need to practice, the whole lafestyle. So we get protection in our life in the hereafter. Now, another point that's coming to my mind that we need to think about is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has, yes, given us the preparation and the method to wipe away the sins. And a beautiful arrangement has made that even if we sin to the level that the amount of sins fill up the gap between the heavens and the earth, and a person stood in Jahannam at that time, and how Allah ta'ala has prepared for the ummah, Allah has given us such an action that it wipes away our sins straight away. Say subhanallah, subhanallah. What is that? What is that? Tawbah. Tawbah. That's it. We need to look at this point. Therefore, the honest heart, we say, Allah, forgive me. Allah says, go, I've forgiven you. That the list that was made left side, all of the sins, the stack of sins that the angel was recording on the left, and for 50, 60, 70 years he recorded, he did made books and sheets. And when Allah Ta'ala forgave, all of his efforts gone to waste. He said, Allah, I've recorded all of this. What's happening now? Within a second, everything's gone. And these now rewards are increasing. So is this not the kamal? Yeah, so how easy this is for us, isn't it? Very easy indeed. But one thing shall I tell you? That one sin of ours is such. Listen to this clearly. One sin of ours is such that it will not be cleaned or wiped due to anything else. Its dirt and contamination is very deep and ingrained. May Allah Ta'ala forgive. May Allah Ta'ala not allow us to carry out this sin. That do tawbah and rub your nose in the dirt. Laylatul Qadr come, Laylatul Miraj come, whichever night comes, you can rub your nose in the sand and the soil. But this sin will not allow us to be forgiven. You can pray tahajjud, do dhikr, recite Quran, do hajj upon hajj. But this sin will not be wiped away. Don't know with which ink this sin is recorded. It's such a severe sin, a bad sin. And if we realize that this sin is there, then we won't get the forgiveness. Look here, look at this point. But one action will allow this sin to be forgiven. Say subhanallah. So shall I tell you the deed that will allow this sin to be forgiven? One action can get this sin forgiven. Suddenly that sin will be wiped away. Otherwise that sin will continue, it will be inscribed with a permanent marker and take us to Jahannam. And we do this sin so openly and abundantly and regularly that nobody is safe from this sin. But one action will wipe away this sin. Suddenly, which action wipes away this sin? One deed, and what is that? Sunnah Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Practicing the sunnah will wipe away the sin. Only and only practicing the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam can wipe away and clean the sin. Otherwise, tawbah will not clean this sin. That's how severe is this sin. Shall I tell you the hadith? Shall I? This hadith is narrated in Abu Dawood, and the narrator is a great sahabi, Hazrat Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu. His maqam, you know, in the field of ilm, knowledge, Hazrat Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu, great sahabi, great companion. He stated, the Nabi al-Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated this. These are the words of the hadith. Do you understand the emphasis? What do we say in English here? That forcefully he emphasized on this point. This is how he narrated. So what do we say? Taqid? To emphasize. Yes, that's right. To emphasize. To put the hard stamp on the statement. Rasulullah ﷺ emphasized on this point, stated Hazrat Abdullah bin Mas'ud, the narrator radiallahu anhu. He said, from my Sahaba, from my companion, who's he addressing? To the Sahaba, to the arrangement, that from my companions, if any individual that if he doesn't deliver my words to somebody else, I desire that when I am with you and I come to the majlis, then my heart should be, your heart should be clean, all of you pure, and there should be no contamination. What a great sunnah of Rasulullah. This is sunnah, this is what we should do amal on, practice on. Then we can say that we are deserving of the reward for the sunnah. Do you understand? that we can say we can decorate our dhahir with the sunnah, and we will then be adorning it in a beautiful way. SubhanAllah, look here. Now, do you understand the sin, or we don't understand? Shall I explain it? You don't understand what I'm saying. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated to his companions radiallahu anhum that look, that any one of you that don't let me hear, my heart feels that when I am amongst you and I sit amongst you, then my heart should not be, for example, the heart should not be contaminated around me. What does this mean? What is the sin that Rasulullah is hinting towards here? That because in the Akhirah, a person's forgiveness will be based on the heart, the state of the heart. Why do we do dhikr? To clean the heart. Why do we read Quran? To clean the heart. Why do we do Hajj? To clean the heart. Why do we do Umrah? Why do we recite the Durood Sharif? To clean the heart. Isn't it? So what a big point here. So we should emphasize on the heart. But the heart, how does a person contaminate the heart, due to which we need to clean it? And this is ajeeb sin. This is ajeeb sin, a unique sin. That amongst us, this is a common trait, a common practice that has come about, a common sin that has come about, cropped up, is that we speak about one person to another person. We create differences in the hearts, that this person's like this, and we're not doing it for the sake of slandering or whatever may be, but we are delivering the communication of one person A to a person B, that he was speaking about you, he said this about you, he thinks this about you. So what happens every moment, this is continuing in our society circles. No Haji Sahib stop speaking wrong, no does an Umrah person stop, no does a Dhakir or a Sufi or Maulvi, nobody. Everyone's busy in these actions, and this cycle continues. Look here, 3 minutes stood here, and we will definitely speak about other people. Despite the other person doesn't even know the person, a primary person, doesn't know that what does he think about me, what does he feel about me, and to communicate about him, person A to person B, oh, he thinks bad about you, he doesn't like you, and you'll leave the masjid, you'll say a few words, then he'll hint to the other person, oh, you know, he said this about you. He was speaking badly about you. To create the differences in the hearts amongst people. So in the other person's heart, then a negative arises due to the first person. And then without any reason, the enmity arises. And the enmity arises and the differences arise. And homes and families are split. And relationships break. Friendships break. Divorces occur. Children leave home. To this extent, the destruction spreads that a person cannot imagine. Why? Because a person created the difference between in the hearts of the people amongst each other. And the way to stop this, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has prescribed to us. Who told us? Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, if a person does amal on his sunnah, and what is the tariqah of his sunnah? That nobody should speak ill about one person to another. Nobody should speak negative about person A to person B. And Rasulullah said that when you speak about another person in front of me, then my heart feels bad. This is the narration in this hadith. So what about us? Nabi Sallallahu said, I don't want that when I come amongst you, that you come and speak to me about another person negatively. Always I want that my heart and your hearts are clean and pure, and the hearts can remain pure when we have no bad feelings about another person in our hearts. To think bad, say bad, bad feelings. You will, isn't this happen? We'll go home and your wife will say something suddenly. Oh, she came and she said this and this happened and the difference was good. Oh, was that person good? Did they say good? No, I think she came to do bad or to say bad. Maybe she came to borrow something or to ask something or to assist for help. And they'll say, oh, that person came. Looked like he came when he was speaking about you. It was like ajeeb and he was laughing about you. And suddenly shaitan will talk. Oh, he was laughing about me? Against me? Is it? And he doesn't even know. And then he starts to plan taking revenge on the person. So then that person was, where's our dhikr? Where's our salah? Where's our tahajjud? Where's our ibadah? And how much amal do we do on this sunnah for not creating differences amongst the hearts of people? And these are the real sunnah practices to heal the hearts, to bring the hearts together. If we bring this sunnah and pick it up, and we say that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam sunnah sharifa, that never at any time should we speak negatively about person A to person B. If we hear something bad, yes. Now point it. If somebody wants to give harm to someone, for example, if someone says that I want to kill another person, and you hear this, then you should deliver that communication to that person B, that he's plotting to harm you. So I'm telling you this so you can protect yourself. This is obviously essential, but to create differences without any basis, oh, he said this, I think he was saying this, or I felt he was saying this, or she was saying this. So many arguments arise. And if we look at the real issue, then we say, he'll pick up the Quran and say, no, I swear by Allah, I was just smiling. And he said himself that I was laughing at you, but I wasn't laughing at you. I was just smiling and chuckling something else. So what is the sunnah of Rasulullah? Beware. That keep yourself to yourself, mind your own business. When you go to other places and gatherings or company, this majlis we've come to, our coming before we come to this majlis, analyze our hearts, measure our hearts. That everyone who's sitting in the gathering, I have no bad feelings, ill feelings against anybody in that gathering. None at all. None at all. And then we'll get the benefit of the gathering. Then we'll get the benefit of the gathering. But when we go to a majlis of dhikr or a great big gathering, then if we have kina and malice against other people or hatred, already we should make niyah already that this gathering, those people, whoever comes to a gathering, now straight away I'll clean my heart. I have no hard feelings against anybody here, no issues. And this is a big sunnah, subhanAllah. And the hint that's given here is because Rasulullah was mentioning himself, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in this hadith, that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that when I come amongst you, I want that my heart is clean and I don't want to hear bad about somebody else. And for this reason, this lesson is very important, because Rasulullah's blessed heart used to distribute good to everyone in the universe. Rasulullah's heart was an ocean, a vast ocean of blessings. So Nabi said, I want everyone to benefit from me. But if I've got malice or ill feelings in my heart against others, then how will I benefit other people? Subhanallah, think about this. So Rasulullah said that if he came to a gathering, or if we are going to a good gathering, a dhikr gathering or a pious gathering, religious gathering, then we should think that, look, my heart is contaminated, impure. How can I benefit others? And if the person who's giving, if he's the head or meed and he thinks that so many people coming, this person said this to me, that person said this to me, I know that person, he backbited against me. No. At that time when that person comes, then he should come with his heart clean and pure. Why? Because Allah Ta'ala, if He's given that person strength in the heart, that he can distribute fares and blessings to others and benefit, then alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah. If he comes clean and pure in the heart, then people will fall and jump into the ocean of his fares. For miles his fares will spread. If his heart is clean, that's how a great point this is. And this is a very important key for the success in the after. And how do we get this? From implementing one sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That sin, and how bad is this sin? You know, sins, for example, when people break the rights, shun the rights, that these sins cannot be forgiven. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said himself, and we see here that the big nights that come, Laylatul Qadr night, and the 15th night that's about to come of Shaban, and the odd nights in Ramadan, and these hadith come to the fore. The haqooqul ibad, people's rights, and to think negative about people in the hearts, and to have malice against other people, and we should have goodness for this. So these nights are not beneficial for us. We can stay up all night long, fast, do sujood, prostrate, recite Quran, do wazaif. But if we want to benefit from this night, then first and foremost, we have to get home, collect everyone, and say, my heart is clean towards you. And if you think bad, negative, you can, but I have nothing to give or take from you. Maybe after this night that's to come, Laylatul Qadr, this could be my final Laylatul Qadr. And maybe I will not be able to see you after that. So I seek forgiveness from you, that my heart is clean. I've got nothing against you. This is the first point. You need to clean the hearts. First and foremost, that I have no issue with you. This was the deception of shaitan. I have no enmity with you, and you have no enmity with me. We're clean. You are like my children. This is my wife. This is my daughter-in-law. This is my son. This is my uncle. I have no enmity with none of you. We have nothing to harm each other. And shaitan, maybe he was trying to create differences with us. Maybe you might have negative feelings, but my heart is clean. And my heart is clean with regards to all of you. Yes? So subhanAllah, will we do this, brothers? And Ramadan is coming as well. So what is this? Who instructed this to us? Atiyur Rasul, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's obedience teaches us these manners. If we didn't have the Sunnah Mubarak of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then tell me, how could we be saved from these sins? How would these sins be eliminated? That Allah Ta'ala, He maybe would have thrown us into the most bottom, most pit of hell, and Allah Ta'ala could have said, I will not forgive this sin of yours. I will forgive maybe the hukuk of mine you broke. Allah will say that you didn't pray Salah, etc. But only this man will forgive you, whose heart you broke. Your wife, children, your mother-in-law, father-in-law, whoever it is around you, whoever's heart you broke with your words, with your eyesight, with your tongue, go and ask forgiveness from that person directly. How sad at that time, tell me. How sad for me and you. How sad this is that we're going, please forgive me, I'm going to Jahannam. And he's going in, and he's going to paradise. He says, sorry, no, I'm worried about myself. I need to give my own hisab. We're into the hereafter now. I can't give you my good deeds. Tell me at that time what will be our hal. Isn't it better now that we do amal on this sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? That we atone for our deeds of our heart, for the hatred we have for people. We have to understand what is the maqsad, the objective of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Every sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is there to take everyone to paradise. Every footstep in imitating the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's life is prepared there to take us to paradise. We'll do this for me, subhanAllah. Say inshallah. So come to the gathering, because we'll get the benefit. If we come to the gathering with malice, we fight at home, we hit the wife, we swear at the children, we do bad actions, and we come and sit in dhikr, tell me what will be our hal. What's the benefit for us? It'll be a bad situation, isn't it? Because in the heart, all of the burden is there. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said for that reason. What a beautiful point here, that in this way, if I come to you, what benefit will you get from me? What benefit will get from me if I come to you in a way that my heart is not clean, your hearts are not clean? Yes, so if we do dhikr, it does give sakina to a person. But if we don't have malice against people in our hearts and they're pure and we do dhikr, imagine the benefit we'll get. It's a difference like the difference between the heavens and the earth. If we've got dirt in our hearts, we'll get no benefit. If we say, okay, my wife's done this or she said this against me, I'll go to dhikr, I did wrong at home, and a person's giving me pain, I'm wrong or this person's wrong, I could say to that person, look, my heart's clean, I'm not worried who was right or wrong, I have no issues against you, and if I was the person who's mistaken, please forgive me, and I've forgiven you as well, subhanAllah. Drink 2 glasses of water, do shukr to Allah, say, Allah, I'm grateful that you've sent me to dhikr, and you've prepared for me, and the rest of the contamination that I've got left in my heart will be cleaned in the gathering of dhikr. I will go, I will sit, I'll do ziyarah of my shaykh, then half of my iman will be strengthened there and then, subhanAllah. I speak about myself, that my situation was so bad sometimes. This is dunya. I used to be spiritually down, stuck in a conundrum, issues, problems, life issues. So I did amal on this sunnah. The first, that my issues were negative. So I traveled, I'm going to do the ziyarah of my sheikh to his gathering. And all of the benefit I attained in my life, I got from my sheikh. I want to get faiz and blessings and benefit from my sheikh. When a person has this niyam, when he goes in a way that he is contaminated in his heart and down, spiritually weak. But if he's not going with a positive frame of mind, then he'll get lost. But if you go to a gathering where you see the teacher, pious person, straight away noor comes to that. But if you go from home, you're fighting, quarreling, disputing with people in the dunya, and if you've done this before you come, are you getting the coolness now in the heart? Look how the coolness comes to the heart and the chest. So half of the issues are resolved, subhanAllah, due to the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, isn't it? Yes, half the issues. I don't know where people who are here today, what happened before you came, and the issues and the problems, Allah's karam, he's dragged us to his dhikr, to his gathering. But come clean in advance, don't worry. Look, let me tell you a point. If you have not oppressed anybody, and if somebody oppresses you, whether he is young or old or whatever he is, have sabr, be patient on the day of Qiyamah, you'll get a massive ajr. Yes, and don't worry that he is younger than me, he dishonored me, disrespected me, and she was younger than me. How dare she say this to me? She belittled me and said this to me. This is the test, that whatever that person XYZ did against you, but you should say, I'll do sabr, I will not waste my ajr. This person will definitely be punished, but I want to get the reward. This is a very great way of thinking. And imagine the coolness that then descends into the heart. And where do we get this from? From the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So we should do amal on the sunnah whenever we go to a good place. When we come to dhikr, salah, prayer, we go to a good gathering, first we should clean the heart, do wudu, ablution, you wear clothes, apply the fragrance, wear imama, dhoti, izhar sharif, we prepare and come, isn't it? So we should also pay attention to the heart. What we should do at the end, after all the physical appearance, pay attention on the heart, focus on the heart. And that my heart, from with who have I fought today from morning, this facade in my house, let me cool the situation down first there. Wash it, clean it, purify it. I have no issues with anybody. Say this at home. Allah Ta'ala is sending me to such a place, his gathering of dhikr, which is the ocean of ma'rifah, of Allah's nearness. I'll go and do dhikr, then I attain Allah's ma'rifah. This is the way we should approach the gathering, and we'll depart with massive fez. So the meaning of what I was trying to say, the summary, is Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala's immense reward that he's given to us. Imagine and understand this as a reward gift, Atiyur Rasul, imitating the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whether it's zahiri external or batini internal, that is the greatest way of life. Just blindly follow the sunnah, benefit upon benefit. We are untold infinite benefits of practicing the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. One sunnah, to practice one sunnah, we will lose count of counting the benefits. Hazrat Mujaddad al-Aftani rahmatullah alayhi stated and imagine his status. Great Sheikh, great Wali of Allah, historical, you could say, pillar of the deen and the silsila mujaddadiyah that flowed from him. And we think, how did he become a great Sheikh? He stated that when a person sits in jalsa, atiyat position in salah, when a person sits in the atiyat position, jalsa, and then when tashahud, and then when he recites and he raises the finger, if he raises the finger during atayat in the sunnah way and drops it in the sunnah way, then it's greater than all of the blessings in the world put together. Imagine, just to practice this one sunnah correctly. And they were people who saw, who experienced. He said that we see that if a person's doing this and doing atayat and he's put his hand or finger here, but if a person correctly practices the sunnah, because there's no sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ that we cannot identify the ajr, the reward, how great is the ajr. And here we need to realize that the place the finger in the right place, in the correct place, becomes such a great amal. If a person puts his fingers in the sunnah way, he picks it up in the sunnah way, he puts it down in the sunnah way, raises it, drops it, it shouldn't be further than the knees, shouldn't be too far behind the knees or in front of the knees, it should be in the right place, balanced place, say Allahu Akbar, and the hand should go up to the earlobe, someone's putting it here, or just up to here, or just up to there. Look. The sunnah of Rasulullah, that the pious predecessors, we saw that the salah prayed behind the wali of Allah. And he wasn't a minor alim. He was not some small time alim who just graduated from a normality. No, he was such a great alim, my hazrat, that where he learnt ilm was the fountain of knowledge. His sheikh, his own teachers were the fountain of knowledge. And such ease and simplicity. So great. We consider that we're doing amal on the sunnah, we'll become small alims, we'll look belittled and minor. If I wear the imamah, they'll say that, oh, he's become like this. And if you don't have imamah, they say, oh, he's just a minor, small. If you wear the imamah, they'll belittle you. So we are, shaitan has, you can say, lowered the emphasis of practicing the sunnah. But the thing that takes us to the uruj, sunnah amal, shaitan said, if you practice this, then you'll be considered low in the world. People look down at you, laugh at you. And this is against your status of minor people practice the sunnah. Na'udhu billah, says shaitan. So the greatest people, look at their salah, the pious predecessors. I researched, I used to sit behind, I remembered, and I didn't have a copy, and I'd buy a copy, a book for exercise book for 10 paisa. And today I have that copy, alhamdulillah. And I used to buy for 10 paisas. You know, the children who studied in the third or fourth class, they had their exercise book. So I got the copy in my hand. And I sat in this tahreed, how does Hazrat pray salah? How did he do assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah? How did he stand? So I knew that this is the wali of Allah. He became a wali of Allah because he knows how to practice the sunnah. Subhanallah, I didn't need to look at a kitab, read a kitab. Otherwise, if the salah is not according to the sunnah, become a wali, he's not a correct Muslim if his ibadah is not correct. His ibadah is not accepted. So Hazrat was a wali. So if we want to learn the sunnah, salah, leave the kitabs, leave fiqh, I swear by Allah, there's no wali now to look at anyway. But go to a wali, wala, sit behind him, look how he prays salah and learn. How does he do wudu? How does he eat? Etc. These are the things that I used to observe from my sheikh. And this sunnah that I've told you of purity in the heart, thinking good about others. That Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that I want to go into a gathering in this way, that my heart is clean and I don't have negative feelings about others and don't deliver to me bad feelings about others. 20, 30 years I stayed in the company of my sheikh. My teacher, I swear by Allah, and I can say to you with a surety, I swear by Allah, I can say to you with a surety that not one night or day passed, never did I see or hear. Remember I told you I wrote every action of Hazrat's. And never did I see my Sheikh, my Hazrat, from his tongue that he spoke negatively about someone, or even spoke about someone, about someone's aqidah. A Shia's there, he didn't say anything to that Shia person. If there was someone else there, he wouldn't say anything. Ahli Hadith, he wouldn't say anything. Yes, Ghair Muqallad. People, and he wouldn't say anything to Ghair Muqallad. And if someone said bad to Hazrat about someone else, Hazrat's face would go red. If someone said, Hazrat Sahib, someone saying this about you, that person said such and such about you, and he said that he's saying negative about you, Hazrat Sahib would not reply, but his face would go red. He had a great status and his face would go red. And somebody would understand that Hazrat's in Jalal now. He is getting a bit angry and didn't like that negative discussion. Hazrat would say, I didn't like what he'd said. This person, this is called amal on the sunnah. Look at the great sunnah. So from there, what we've seen, the Hazrat Sahib's salah, his ibadat, is worship, is standing, sitting, is being seated, is joking and jesting and his seriousness. He used to joke as well, and Hazrat's joking was beautiful and tender and soft. And when Hazrat would smile, he'd smile according to Sunnah. His whole face would open up, subhanAllah, due to the beauty of his smile. There was no action of Hazrat Sahib's that did not match with the lifestyle of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And I wrote these things, recorded these. How old is this kitab? 60 years old. I didn't even have aql at that time. I had no knowledge. And my brother would ask, why do you write and record? I said, this will become a history book. And my heart feels I want to keep on writing. So Hazrat Karami Qadr used to be sat in front, and I used to sit behind Hazrat Sahib. Behind Hazrat Sahib directly, so I could see the people coming from in front, and those who were coming from not in front of Hazrat Sahib, I could see that they're coming, and I'd write down the notes, what I could see and observe. The Hazrat Sahib smiled like this, he did like this, he did dua like this, this person came, Hazrat Sahib replied to him like this, he did this for somebody, he helped this person this way. Hazrat Sahib got up from his position, went, he looked up to the skies after Asr, this occurred after Asr. Hazrat Sahib read Quran. Once I went to Asr Salah, and I'm asked for forgiveness. I started speaking about Hazrat Sahib, so I'll continue, because hearing about the walis of Allah, this indeed itself is a great ibadah. Therefore, I show you the Quran. I'll tell you a karamat of Hazrat Sahib. Kashf. What is the karamat of Hazrat Sahib? It was Asr time, and you know, in our areas it's hot, and Hazrat was sitting just outside in the sort of courtyard, you could say. No one else was there. By chance, I think something had bitten me, a scorpion. I just went in the heat. I think, let me go. I'm just sitting here, wasting my time, tossing and turning. I wasn't feeling sleep. It was afternoon time. I said, okay, let's go and see Hazrat Sahib. Maybe Hazrat Sahib is sitting in the Khanqah. So I just got up, did wudu. And when Hazrat Sahib was sitting there alone in the courtyard, subhanAllah, say subhanAllah. And that's it. Oh, success. I was so happy. I was happy so much at that time that today the enjoyment I'm getting. Now there's no one else here. I will be there and Hazrat Sahib will be there. I said, today I've got enjoyment. I've cracked it. And there's no one else between me and Hazrat Sahib, where there would be a big gathering and the Sheikh. And that Hazrat Sahib I met alone. Solitude. And what else did I need? I jumped. And Hazrat Sahib sat there on his musalla prayer mat, and I went and sat in front with PR, would love Hazrat, shake my hands. I could never dare to press Hazrat's hands or his arms or his legs, and I did musafaha. I shook hands and I sat in front of Hazrat Sahib. And after that, when subhanAllah, what happened then was a ajeeb scenario. What occurred was that Hazrat Sahib started tilawat, recitation. And I remember the beginning, alhamdulillah, I can tell you. Hazrat Sahib started recitation, and as soon as Hazrat Sahib started to recite, I disappeared. And I went into a new world. This is Hazrat's karamat I'm telling you now. Subhanallah. Yani, I cannot explain to you that where was Hazrat Sahib and where was I hearing Hazrat's recitation, from which position. Such beautiful recitation, and with hujum, with melody. What a dunya I was in. I cannot describe it to you with my tongue, with words that I can describe where I was at that time. And how long Hazrat recited such a lengthy recitation. And I didn't know myself in which dunya I was. And when my eyes opened, then I saw Hazrat Sahib was there sitting silently. And Hazrat Sahib started to smile that, oh, have I given you the journey? And you've had the journey. And I was said, shukr, alhamdulillah. This is also the shan, the glory of the wali of Allah. There's such a recitation, such a Quran, alhamdulillah. I'd never heard a recitation like that in my life. I don't know which dunya Hazrat Sahib was in. Hazrat Sahib's face full of noor, beautiful emotion. And I'm swaying next to Hazrat Sahib, rejoicing. And Hazrat Sahib's reading Quran. And with such ease and melody and beauty. What a maqam of Hazrat Sahib's. Soon as I came back to my senses, Hazrat Sahib was sitting there silently. And I was sitting there silently. And like, and back to the original dunya. You know, Miraj was like this. And when Nabi Al-Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam came back, then the door was shaking, the handle was shaking, and the bed was warm. And because Allah Ta'ala freezes time, Allah Ta'ala freezes time, it stops. Yes, it doesn't move, alhamdulillah. And a person achieves. So anyway, what I was saying, I was trying to mention, is that do amal on the sunnahs of Rasulullah, and those people will achieve the successful destination. This is the recognition, the sign of a wali of Allah. If you want to recognize a true wali, don't use any success criteria. Look at his akhlaq, look at his practice on the lifestyle of Rasulullah. Don't just look at his attire and dhoti and imama, I want to become Hazrat and imitate. If we want to imitate, then we need to delve and dive into the ocean of the Shaykh's ma'rifah. attain the nearness of the Shaykh. What is his ma'mulat? How does he approach the people who don't like him? How does he meet strangers? What's his position of love with those he knows? And the people who don't like him, the enemies of the Shaykh, even they praise the Shaykh openly. So should we do nakal of him? That what is the magic stick that he's got, that he's got this maqam? Nothing. Just the one action that they've grabbed hold of the sunnah of Rasulullah. So this is one sunnah that I presented to you. Today we should start doing amal on this, alhamdulillah, that never will we think bad of anyone, nor will we want to hear bad about someone. That what did he say? What did he say about you? When someone starts saying this, say, so leave it. Let him say what he's saying. I have no need to hear this. I don't want to hear this. And just dust it down even then. That person comes to you, who's your so-called friend, like shaitan. He says, you know, you're about to be promoted. That man who's in the same office as you. And say to him, stop, leave it. Shh. I believe in Allah. Whatever's going to happen, Allah will allow it to happen. I don't want to hear anything from anyone's tongue. I have no interest in at all in the negatives you're telling me. And in the homes, we should have this hisab. Same hisab. Daughter, she said this. Son said this. This person, cousin said this about you. Chachi, your auntie, she said this. Straightway make it to stop at that time. That no one can say anything about me, because I don't say anything about anyone, and I don't want anybody else to say. I've not said bad about anyone. So why will people say bad about me? If they say something, then they're foolish. May Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq. Ameen.